Hey, this is Seth Rogen, executive producer of the show Preacher on AMC, and you're listening to the Walkers and Talkers podcast with David, Brody, and Jamie.
Wow.
Well, it's been a while since we've heard him.
Yeah. How's Seth Rogen?
Yeah.
Well, welcome to Walkers and Talkers episode
133.
133. I'm David Brody from Elvis Duran, the morning show. It's Jamie from Light FM. This is our first Walkers and Talkers podcast of 2019.
Yes, it is.
Now, the show's not back, but we are, as far as The Walking Dead.
Yes.
Fear of the Walking Dead is not back, and neither is Preacher. But I finally watched the last three episodes of Preacher.
Finally!
Which I realized were from way back in August.
They were from a long time ago.
I'm terrible. I'm sorry. I have them on my DVR, so yeah. I'm looking at the dates going, oh, it's been way too long.
They were awesome, though, right?
They were really good. I didn't take notes like I normally do when we do Preacher feature, and I break it down. So I'm just going to, the overview of the last three episodes, I assume you're caught up if you're listening to this. If you're not, I apologize. You know, Hitler is on his way back to, he's back in hell, and Cowboy.
All Saints killer.
All Saints killer. He killed Satan.
Satan.
And then Grandma's dead, and
G-Ma is dead.
G-Ma, yeah, she's... Oh, and then the All-Father.
Oh, my God.
And apparently
exploded.
A bunch of the Humperdews.
Humperdews are flooding the world.
Splattered all over the... They killed like 20 of them and splattered them. You can't explain the show. It's just blood and guts everywhere.
It was mayhem, but it was awesome.
It was souls were consumed.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Tulip was so badass.
Tulip. And just vampires.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And then vampires eating vampires.
Oh, my God.
And then vampires just destroyed. it's a mess.
So much.
So, yeah. So, Preacher, I'm sorry. My mistake. Hold on. Oh, there's the theme from Preacher. Okay, we got that out of the way. I have to play that.
A snippet.
Just a snippet. So, so Preacher, it was great. For those of you who, I'm not going to break the whole thing down, just it was fantastic. I apologize. Next season, if it doesn't overlap with The Walking Dead, then we will not have that problem.
Yes.
But it overlapped and we just couldn't do two episodes a week. And
a
lot going on. So here's what we're going to cover today since there's no episode to review. A lot of news since we last spoke to you guys. And then we want to play the clips from Ross Marquand. And we have some IDs from him we want you to listen to.
Speaking of Ross Marquand.
Yes.
My friend today was visiting, the stations, and he gave me a Ross Marquand doll.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
An Aaron doll.
Now that's early Aaron.
Early Aaron.
That's you guys need water, Aaron.
Yes.
That's I didn't lose my arm yet, Aaron. Spoiler.
No, yeah.
I noticed it's not 10 inches.
This would be a 5-inch Aaron.
Ooh.
So it's not quite my 10-inch Daryl Dixon.
All right. So that's more like a weekday thing.
Yeah. But it's still pretty cool. I love it.
All right. Great. Well, all right. Let's get right to it. First of all, Seth Gilliam liked our tweet about our interview. He finally followed.
He
accepted my follow of him.
You've been waiting.
He didn't follow me, but he accepted my follow of him.
Okay.
Because he's got one of these. You got to apply to be his follower.
Oh, excuse me.
I feel like it's weird when you're a celebrity. Don't you want everybody to follow you?
Yeah,
the whole point.
Just let everyone follow.
But he liked it. He didn't retweet it, which is more valuable, but he liked it.
Oh, he liked it. Okay.
All right. There are four new Whisperer trailers.
They freak me the hell out,
trailers. The one where the Whisperer, they're all walking. There's four of them, and one turns around, stares right in the camera.
Don't like that one.
There's one where Alpha and Beta organize for an attack, and they're like, you could see through their, like, from their eye point of view, from their standpoint.
Yeah.
Where it looks like they're stalking the survivors.
Yeah.
And then they're like, they don't belong here. They don't belong here. Right?
That's, really good.
Thank you. I could be a Whisperer. And then there's
you
two
could.
That came out today. What's today's date?
The 17th.
As we're recording this. One is called 4 Weeks, where it just has one of the Whisperers. I think it's Alpha, and the screen just says 4 weeks. It's 5 seconds. It just flashes.
Okay.
And then there's one that's 11 seconds, and it's Alpha, and it pans from her boots all the way up to her face, and then it gets creepy looking, really creepy. Yeah. How about that? So they're I think they want us to know that the show's coming back.
Oh yeah.
All right, so let's just jump around here on news on The Walking Dead and all the Walking Dead websites I scoured with you. Andrew Lincoln says the spinoff movies will explore a wider world. He said, I like the idea of getting to tell a bigger story. He says, I've always been interested in what's going on out there, you know, whether or not there is contact with the wider world. I want to know what the meta of it all is. Mm-hmm. And I suppose to be able to kind of touch upon that in a contained story for me is very exciting. Look, he's gonna get to film wherever he wants, whenever he wants. So, of course, whatever they tell him, it's exciting.
Oh, yes. Totally.
He said, Lincoln previously likened it to Clint Eastwood's epic movie Unforgiven. And that Rick will be placed in an entirely new environment. I think it's going to be with no windows.
Oh.
I think it's going to be somewhere in England. That's what I think.
So we don't know where.
Right.
Is. Okay.
Even if they tell you it's Canada, it's going to be like close to home.
Yeah. Yeah, he's at home.
Scott Gimple says there is more story to tell, and we'll be telling it. The story of Rick goes on. He said, right now we're working on 3 films in our minds, but there's flexibility in that.
Which says
to me, maybe he doesn't die in the third one, and he just keeps going.
There's more.
My guess is if they do him over the course of a couple of years, maybe he and Denai. See, if you take Michonne, like let's say the cast of The Walking Dead, because a lot of them have signed contracts now that enable them to do things outside the show.
Yeah.
I think Carol, Daryl, Michonne, so far, the ones I know. If it's anybody else, it doesn't really matter. But let's say those 3 so far. Mm-hmm. If they were to go somewhere or track him or find where he is and reunite, let's say, in the third movie. Does Michonne stay with him wherever he is? Like, I've got a higher purpose. I want to stay here. And Michonne says, well, I'll stay with you and the kids. Then we lose Judith.
Ah.
Unless Judith, Michonne, and RJ and Rick, the 4 of them, then do movie 4 together.
That probably is more like it.
But I don't think the main show can continuously lose all these people.
No, it can't. It can't keep losing the heavy hitters. No.
So how they keep having him in movies more and more and more, does he start his own community? Like, I think if they took him to England, there's really no easy way for him to get back to Michonne.
No.
So you could see him doing movie after movie.
Yeah.
Meeting new people, traveling Europe, whatever.
Traveling Europe.
You know, getting on a train, going from
vacation.
Backpacking around Europe. I'm not happy about this, but it's a good sign, I suppose. So we've been talking about how The Walking Dead's ratings have gone down a little bit.
Yeah.
The number one torrented, if you don't know what a torrent is, you can Google that. Let's just say downloaded illegally.
Ooh.
Show of 2018, beating Game of Thrones. For those people that don't pay for HBO, still wrong, you're stealing. The Walking Dead.
Wow.
Now, AMC is not a premium channel.
It's free.
But that, well, only if you have cable.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Now,
no,
if you don't
right,
have any
right.
cable, but you know what? You're wondering why people don't want to stay on the show because they're not getting paid enough, mm-hmm. or they don't have a budget. You're like, oh, why did they go cheap on that scene? Because you're stealing their programming.
Yeah, don't steal. Pay for AMC.
All right. Okay. The Walking Dead. This article was about how The Wizard of Oz hints at Rick Grimes's reuniting with his family. Hmm. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean they do or they don't. So the first clue comes in episode 903 of this season. Warning Signs, which ends a Grimes family fun day montage while Rick is reading to Judith.
Mm-hmm.
Remember they were out playing?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And this is what Rick was reading. And as the hours passed and nothing terrible happened, she stopped worrying and resolved to wait calmly and see what the future would bring. He's reading from the first chapter of The Wizard of Oz.
Yes.
The passage aloud, read by Rick out loud, immediately follows farm girl Dorothy and loyal dog Toto being whisked away in a cyclone, which carried her house miles and miles away as easily as you could carry a feather. That's what the line is what they had previously read. The sequence continues to unfold with Toto and Jermaine and the rest of the Jackson 5, with Toto falling into an open trap door. And at first, the little girl thought she had lost him, the book reads, until Dorothy's able to pull the dog back from a strong pressure of air that had kept Toto suspended. Now, I had never read the book. I'm taking this article's word for it.
Yeah, I didn't know that part. Wow.
So the little girl thought she had lost Toto.
Dorothy.
But she...
Right?
Dorothy, right.
Yeah.
That she'd lost Toto, but she didn't. In episode 905, what comes after, Rick makes his last stand on a bridge he hoped would unite the 5 communities, ultimately firing at it and blowing up, blah, blah, blah. Rick then washes up on the bank of a river, wounded but alive, where he's discovered by a fleeing Anne, blah, blah, blah.
Slash
okay.
Janus.
And they leave on a helicopter. The Wizard of Oz parallels are apparent and its famous ending, which saw Dorothy returned home to Kansas from the faraway land of Oz, after being transported through the air,
mm-hmm.
right, by the tornado, which could play out similarly in The Walking Dead. Lincoln himself noted his send-off episode was inspired by The Wizard of Oz. Hmm. He said John Bernthal, who's Shane, Herschel and Sasha as he saw them as hallucinations. They were guides pushing Rick in the right direction to come back and wake up, right?
Like the Tin Man, Scarecrow, and the Lion.
Right. He says, I realized halfway through, I went, it's the Wizard of Oz. We're shooting the Wizard of Oz. Herschel's the courage, Bernthal's the heart, and Sinequa's the wisdom. And Michonne is home.
Aww.
And it's that whole thing of being whisked away into the helicopter and spinning away in the house. I said, we're in the Wizard of Oz. And they said, everyone was like, yeah, it's kind of the Wizard of Oz.
There's no place like home.
Now, they didn't film in black and white like the Wizard of Oz did at the beginning and the end anyway. So there's some interesting
parallels.
And
there's no ruby slippers.
That's right, no ruby slippers. There you go. The Walking Dead movies will complete Rick Grimes' story, says Andrew Lincoln. Now, I don't know how that'll be, but he says the trilogy will show his complete story.
Ooh.
Now, if there's more than three movies, does that mean other people go in the movies and not him?
I don't know. There's flexibility.
Lincoln says there were many iterations of Rick's departure from the main series, some of which could have ended with Rick's death. The decision instead to spare Rick and spring him into his own franchise movie came rather late during season 8. I think we told you in an earlier episode of Walkers and Talkers that they were thinking of killing him where he would die from his wounds by the tree.
Yeah.
Okay. I said, wouldn't it be nice to do this where I wouldn't die? It's never been done by a cable TV channel to shoot movies. I think it would be good. Quite astonishingly, at the end of last year, they said, let's go for it. So it was all sort of like his idea to like do something different.
Continue it on outside of.
Yes. Anyway, he said AMC thought it would be an interesting idea. They agreed to it, and there you go.
Oh.
Michael Cutlets.
Uh-oh, the man, what did he say now?
The man who can't keep his mouth shut.
Can't keep a secret.
He hints that he will return as Abraham Ford.
Oh my God, he had another slip up.
He says, who knows, maybe
Cutlets.
There'll be flashbacks.
Oh my God.
He says, I guess on your guys' show, he's talking about Fear the Walking Dead.
Oh.
He says, there were some tapes that were shown, and one of the tapes said, Abe/Doctor.
Yes.
Which would be Abraham Ford and Dr. Eugene Porter, according to Robert Kirkman, so they could certainly go down that road. Not saying they said anything about it or not, probably not. So I'll stop talking about that. Never mind.
Oh no. He keeps getting himself in trouble.
The Walking Dead showrunner, Angela Kang, teases how the Whisperers will affect season 9. At the end of the first half, we get this reveal that these zombies are not evolving, that they're some sort of strange human threat. We will get to meet Samantha Morgan as Alpha and Ryan Hurst as Beta, as our heroes are really grappling with how to deal with a threat that's unlike anything they've ever faced before, with people such as these people with a different philosophy. We'll continue to see the effects that that nature has on our people as things start to break down and they deal with the problems that come up as a result of these things. Not only will we see the threat that these horrifying villains possess, but we will also get the chance to learn about how they live and operate. So a lot about that.
Yeah.
And again, I'm telling you, lots of death. Trust me on that. No spoilers. I only know what I read in the comics.
You read
and
a lot.
They may change things in the TV show, but I doubt it. It's expected this week AMC will announce that season 10 is officially renewed, although they haven't yet. Last year on January 13th is when they announced season 9.
Okay, so we're around
it,
there.
It's around here. Okay, let's talk Ross Marquand.
Marquand.
So we got to interview him unofficially at Walk Stalker.
Yes.
Shout out to Corey, who reigns in.
Hi, Corey.
So he got us a meet and greet, which basically means you walk up to the line, and he let us kind of wait on the secondary VIP line, so we didn't cut the line. We just got on the VIP line.
Yeah.
Those are the people that paid a little more to have less of a line.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
So shout out to those people. Sorry. So there's like 50 people online and like 10 VIP people.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we wait on that line. And there's a counter where his people are collecting money to buy pictures, autographs, whatever.
Yeah.
And then he stands at the end of the counter, and you walk up to him, and you say hi, and he takes a picture, whatever you paid for.
Yeah, hug.
He'll sign your picture, whatever.
Yeah.
And we noticed he was talking to everybody. So we went up, and we talked to him for a while.
It was a while.
But the girls before us, and I think we may have mentioned it previously, right, on last week's episode?
Yeah,
last episode.
Yes.
And the girls before us, like, they stayed there forever.
They did.
Selfies, they did a pyramid.
They did videos of
pyramids. They did everything. They were there for like 20 minutes. So we were like,
No lie.
So we went up to Ross and we put the microphone on. I mentioned this before. It's a microphone with a built-in hard drive.
Yeah.
You have to push the button.
Yeah.
But I always forget. So I hit the button, I put it down on the counter, on the table, next to him, and we said hi.
Yeah.
Which you're going to hear in a minute. And then at some point he says, that's rolling?
And that's when I started sweating.
He said he didn't know. So he said, all right, I don't know what I said, but I said, you didn't say anything bad.
So I turn it off.
Right.
Because I didn't want to disrespect him.
And he said, no, now that I know it's recording, he went and turned it back on.
He turned it on himself.
Back on.
Yeah.
So we continued the very friendly conversation. During the clip you're going to hear right now, there's a part where it's kind of like, Jamie asks about when they filmed the last scene at the cemetery.
How he had to come back.
A lot of the cast had to go back and redo some, they had to do some reshoots and everything.
He had to really cry at the gate.
They wanted more passion and sadness out of Ross McCall. Okay? And so after we recorded it, we had to send the audio to Ross McCall.
Who actually listened to it.
He did listen to it. And asked if we could please take out 19 seconds.
Yes.
Which we did.
We did.
So here's what I'll say. When the thing he mentioned happens on the show and it's safe.
Then we can talk about it? Then we can play it?
Well, I don't know because I don't want the people from The Walking... Well, no, he did the right thing.
Yeah.
He didn't let us air it, which we would not.
Yeah.
So let's see if we can get permission
to
air
it. We'll see where we're at.
If not, we'll just say, yeah, that's what he said.
Yeah.
It's nothing earth-shattering other than I asked him about a scene and he's like, well, no, if you think about it, because this is blah, blah, blah. And he sort of alluded to something. Yeah. I'm sorry to do that to you guys.
That is a tease. You're a tease.
I am a tease.
You are a tease.
I am a tease. I'm sorry. Well, that's what I get for wearing a nightgown to this podcast. Okay. Sorry, in case you're wondering. All right, so here's the interview. Again, the clip, there's a little part where you can't hear it. It's Jamie asking about doing the reshoot. And then I want to play for you the IDs he did for us.
Yes.
Okay? And just a reminder, The Walking Dead returns February 10th. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but before I hit the interview clip, we got a little word from our sponsor, so to speak.
Okay.
Okay. Well, there you go. There was that. All right. So now, back to what we were talking about.
Back to
Ross McCall. So here's the clip of Ross McCall. Here we go.
Talking Dead, you said that the arm...
Okay, so I'm asking him about it when he was on Talking Dead.
Yes.
He's talking about his metal arm.
Mm-hmm.
It got upcut here, so I apologize.
Talking Dead, you said that the arm was originally for another character.
Yes.
Are you allowed to say who that was?
No.
Okay. We're going to say Rick, only because of the comics. But okay. But either way, it was you.
Someone else.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right, well, there you go. So are you intentionally being made to look like comic book Rick?
No. I don't know. Oh, this is recording.
If that's okay, yeah.
I didn't know that.
No. Anything, by the way, that you say that you don't want us to, like, do wrong.
Okay. Yeah, maybe the last, like, 2 minutes.
Okay, I can tell you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Okay.
Cool.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I told Angela it didn't make a whole lot of sense to keep the beard after he's lost Eric, after he's lost all these people that he cares about. You know, he's a broken man in many respects, and I don't think that he's going to be as concerned with hygiene or, you know, shaving all the time.
Right.
You know? So, yeah.
All right. Are there a lot of razors in the apocalypse anyway?
You know what I mean? I mean, like, and then, like, the hot water and everything, it just seems like it would be a waste of resources.
I will say, like, on Talking Dead, when you said you had to come all the way back and film that one scene of you at the date.
Yeah.
I think, because that scene, for me, I was like, oh, like, I just felt it in my heart.
Yeah.
And I think it was so necessary, like you said, to refilm that part just so that we could feel that there was a deeper bond that maybe we hadn't seen.
Although none of us have been able to figure out how Michonne found you guys in the fog and didn't know where you went.
We don't know either.
Okay. It seemed a little... All right. Okay. Seemed like a hole for us.
Agreed. But,
I mean,
you know,
the dog knew where to run when he left. We don't know how that happened either. All right.
That's a good point, too.
Fair enough. Yeah. All right. So, the arm, real quick. They didn't want to cut Rick's arm off because of the CGI and the expenses, and they thought it would limit his character. It seems like they should have thought about the arm, like, as a... Because for you, there's no CGI. You have an arm.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if that was even a consideration when they talked about it, but for whatever reason, they just felt like it wasn't the right choice for Rick, and maybe Andy didn't want it. I have no idea.
No, he wanted it. He wanted it in the comics. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Okay. He told me over breakfast one day.
Oh, that's nice. Very sweet.
We're going to not get killed by the crowd.
Oh, yeah.
We would love to talk to you forever.
So abruptly we ended it because I could see people were giving us dirty looks and we could have gone on forever. But
here's what we learned
in that clip. He was great. The arm cut off was supposed to be somebody else.
But not Rick.
Not Rick.
Interesting.
I wonder if they were going to cut Carl's arm off. Like when Negan Tarman cut his arm off, if that was a possibility.
That almost happened, yeah.
That could have been.
Yeah, definitely.
But it was somebody else, not Rick. And then I taught him that Andrew Lincoln
Andy.
Wanted to do have his arm cut off because he wanted to do like comics, and the show didn't want to do it. We've talked about that.
Yeah.
However, the one thing that we didn't have on there because the sound quality was terrible, I had to edit it out, was when I said, I was asking about Tom Payne.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, you do a great Tom Payne. I go, that's because whenever we play the ID of, hello, this is Tom Payne, I always say, Tom Payne.
Tom Payne.
Right. And so he said, oh, you do really good. I said, oh, thanks.
And he's a master at impressions.
Right. So it was quite a compliment.
It was quite the compliment.
All right. So let's listen to the IDs that Ross did for us. Here's the first one. Regular old, here we go.
Hey, this is Ross Marquand. I play Aaron on The Walking Dead, and you're listening to Walkers and Talkers with David Brody and Jamie.
Right, very nice.
Oh,
thank you, Ross.
Jamie.
But then I felt like it's not, you know.
Yeah.
Right, so.
I knew. I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Because he's Ross Marquand.
Well, Marquand.
Okay, so then I said to him, this is the right button. Let's see. I said, here we go.
Don't get mad. Will you say this is Ross Marquand? Because that's the way they say it on Talking Dead.
Hello, this is Ross Marquand. I play Aaron on The Walking Dead, and you're listening to Walkers and Talkers with David, Brody, and Jamie.
Okay, so again, here's what he said, right?
I play Aaron on The Walking Dead, Hello, this is Ross Marquand.
Ross Marquand?
Marquand?
Right.
I kind of like that Marquand.
Now, I wanted the Maurice Chevalier, who's an old actor, who's like, it's Maurice Chevalier. I wanted him to do a Ross Marquand.
You wanted
Longshale? Longshale? But he gave me...
Hello, this is Ross Marquand.
He gave me the Canadian, very polite.
It's so refined and beautiful.
This is American, right?
This is Ross Marquand. I play...
This is Ross Marquand? So he's Marquand.
Yeah, Marquand.
Right, but then I asked him and he went...
Hello, this is Ross Marquand.
Play. It's so like Ross Marquand.
I love it.
You could almost picture him doing his hand ta-da with his hand.
Yes,
like,
totally.
I want you listening to the podcast, like on The Price is Right when they flip their hand over.
Marquand?
Like flip from... So start with your hand down.
Yeah.
Your arm is out. Your hand is palm down. Then as he says, Marquand, flip your hand over and
and put it out to the side.
And out to the side like you're making in a circle. like you're showing off the new car at the car show.
Yes.
Here we go.
Hello, this is Ross Marquand. I play Aaron on The Walking Dead and you're listening to...
That's right. There you go. So fancy Ross Marquand. So thank you, Ross Marquand. Thank you for walking.
You were awesome.
Stalker.
Thank you. Thank you again, Corey.
Also, I have to get his passes. I just got an announcement.
Excuse me.
In March.
What?
Paley Fest at the Paley Center in New York. They do that whole week of, they do panels of TV shows.
What day is that?
They're doing the Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. I got to do that one.
You love that show.
Love that show. But one of them, they're coming back because I remember I went in September, I think.
No, you went at Comic-Con.
No, but I went in September, right? Oh. Whenever it was, because the show hadn't premiered yet.
Without
and we
me?
Watched the premiere. Yeah, without you.
Oh my God.
Hello. I think I'd gone to the Met game, maybe. I think I'd gone to David
somewhere.
Wright's Met game, last Met game, whatever, and I went to whatever it was.
Yeah.
And I went to the Paley Center, watched the preview of the first episode, then there was the panel discussion.
Yes.
And I interviewed Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Yes.
So they're coming back now in March, so I'm going to have to get passes for a little press pass action.
Oh.
You'll come this time.
Yes, I will.
You put a little effort into the podcast.
Okay. I always do.
All right. Anyway, we should be doing one more episode, probably, maybe two, before the show comes back. Very exciting. But thank you for listening to this non-episode review. You got a little preacher in. Fear the Walking Dead, Dwight's being added to the show. We don't know how yet.
That should be interesting.
So there you go. So
there we go.
Another episode.
Yeah.
So although this was a kind of a calm, casual Ross Marquand kind of episode. Ross Marquand.
Longel.
We appreciate you listening.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks. So it's time.
What time is it?
It is time to shut this shit down.